that great. I was like, did Pastor Marty tell you to do that? No, he's getting me back because of all the times that he was chewing gum and it would drive me insane. Ma, I needed it. Keeps my mouth full. Moist. Okay. Now my mouth is dry. Thank you. Oh, why not? No.
Why not?
Okay, where am I? Exodus, not Genesis. Okay. So I wanted to review, since we've been talking about Psalm 91. So I'm going to read the whole scripture from the Passion Translation. And it says, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. Thank you, sweetie. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. And he will rescue you from the every hidden trap of the enemy. And he will protect you from the false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you and protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. You will never have to worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor the powers of evil launched against you. For God will keep you safe and secure. They won't lay a hand on you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of the God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence. Even in your time of pressure and trouble, I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. I love this scripture. I love this whole chapter. I know it's something that we take seriously in our home. Sometimes I'll come downstairs and the Bible will be open to Psalm 91. But I wanted to come back to this one particular verse 5. It says, you will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have a fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing, whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you. And the reason why those two particular verses is because of fear. We're living in a time where fear is abundant. You can't even be on Facebook without it being in your face. And it's just all around us. It's rampant. And this is one of the things that the enemy will use to keep you from pursuing God. Ever since I was a little girl, I was pretty fearful. I still am. I'm you know, I'm just going to be honest. Fear tends to come upon me. And one of the things that I feared most was death. I remember my mom taking us to a funeral and me looking over under the casket and seeing the dirt and seeing how deep the hole was. And then my great-grandfather died, and I remember going to awake. It was my very first one. And in the nighttime, when I would try to go to sleep, I remember that fear would come upon me so strong that I was afraid to close my eyes, because if I did, I felt like I was going to die. And I remember my stepfather, he prayed over me that fear would go away, and then I didn't have to deal with it for a while. And then after about a year after Josh and I got married, that fear started coming on me again. He had a dream. He doesn't remember it, but I remember him waking up, and he had a dream, and it shook him. It scared him. And he said, you know, I dreamt that you died, that you had a heart attack or something, which freaked me out because I was diagnosed in high school that of a mitral valve regurge, which is like a heart murmur where the blood goes the opposite way at times. So when he said that, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And it felt really real to him. And then it felt really real to me because that stuck with me. And so every time I would try to pursue God, this fear, I would hear a voice saying, if you get any closer, you're going to die. He's going to kill you. You're not going to live. You're going to be taken out every time. And I would just like, God, I want to pursue you. I want to be in your presence, but I'm scared. I'm scared of you. And I would just be like, no, you can just stand at a distance and I'll be right here. I'm okay. Because every time, without fail. And I remember my mother-in-law, I would talk to her about it, and I'm like, I just can't shake this thing. It's so strong. I don't want to die. And she quoted scripture to me. She said, you will live and not die, but you shall declare the works of the Lord. And she just kept saying that to me, and I'm like, okay, God. I shall live. I will not die, but I will declare the works of the Lord. And I just remember going out on my balcony and just like, God, I want to pursue you. I want to get in your presence. But every time, I just feel like you're going to take me out. And he said to me, he said, it's not the fear of death. See, that's what the enemy wants you to think, is that you're going to die a physical death. But the reality is every time you get in my presence, you will die. You will die a fleshly death. And after he said that to me, I was like, okay, I can handle that. I'm not afraid to die a fleshly death. Because all my life, I have wanted to be set apart. And it still comes to me, but this time it's not towards me. It's not my fear of me dying. I left that a long time ago. But now that fear has been directed somewhere else. And I just remember about a month ago or so, I was in the shower and I just was like, God, I just want more of you. I want to pursue your presence. But then all of a sudden, that fear came upon me so strong again, that it enveloped me like a blanket. And I remember hearing that your children will be taken away from you. You will be tested. And it will be your children. And I just got out of the shower and I was like, no, God, no. Don't use my children against me. Don't use my children to test me. I just want to get close to you, but I'm scared. I'm scared. So I started praying. You know, just canceling out whatever the enemy was trying to say to me at that moment, because it had to have been him. It was him. And I remember a few years ago, that same thing came to me, but it was about me saying, oh, at the age of 44, that's your last year. Crazy, right? This is how the enemy comes to me. And I was like, God, 45, really? And he told me, he's like, who told you that? Who told you your 45 would be your last? And I was like, the devil? He's like, that's right. I know your days. And I'm not through with you yet. And so this is something, and I'm telling you, like, I was sitting right over there last Wednesday, and he was talking about Psalm 91, getting into the presence, and that you will be tested. And I'm sitting there like, really? This is so not the message I want to hear right now. And I kept saying to myself, I was like, what's the point? What's the point? Literally, you know, the enemy, just because you're in the presence doesn't mean the enemy's not going to come and work his way. Exactly. And so I just kept thinking, I'm like, what's the point then? And I was getting so frustrated, so frustrated. And then he tells me to give this message because I told him everything. I'm like, oh, this must be my therapy then. I'm going through deliverance. And then I immediately went home and I started studying and writing all these notes, which I never do. And I hope I can articulate everything. But the enemy will use anything to keep you from his presence. He will use your fear. He will use your shame of the past. He will use pain. He will use anything. And that's exactly what he was doing with me. He was using my fear, making me afraid of God. And not in the normal fear of the Lord. This was like, I'm afraid of you because if I come any close to you, you're going to kill me or you're going to take away. But I remember when I was praying to the Lord, I was like, why is it when I start coming to you, when I start entering in your presence, I feel like you're going to take the most precious things I have from me? I don't want to associate that time that we had when it was after my miscarriage. It was a traumatic experience, but he was the closest he's ever been to me. And I don't want to associate pain with your presence. I don't want to associate trauma with your presence. Why is it that we have to be tested and all this stuff when it doesn't make sense to me? But the reason we were never meant to be apart from his presence. We were never created to dwell with outside of the presence of God. But even Adam and Eve had to be tested. See, we have a choice. We can choose to run to the presence of God, or we can choose to run away from it. And what sin does is it causes you to separate yourself. God never separates himself from you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But we have the choice to either run to or run away. The enemy wants to keep the divide. He wants to keep us from abiding in the secret place. See, what does it mean to abide in the secret place? What happens in the secret place is where oil is bought. Anointing is released. So the thing of the enemy is that he wants to make you powerless. He wants to keep you powerless. And what being in the presence of God is enables us to receive power and authority and the anointing that breaks the yoke. If the enemy can keep you from it, he'll keep you powerless. Just read on my notes, make sure. See, when you choose God's presence to abide in it, then you receive the benefits. But if you choose otherwise, you risk being exposed. I want to turn to Exodus 23, verse 20 through 30. And this is going to sound a lot like Psalm 91. This is God's angel to prepare the way. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way, and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion. Since my name is in him, thinking this is Jesus. Verse 22 says, if, look at that word, if. If is a word of condition. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren. In your land, I will give you a full lifespan. Sounds like a lot like Psalm 91 there. His presence meant that they would be protected. And part of that protection comes in the form of armor. I wasn't sure what my message was gonna, what direction it was gonna take until this morning when I woke up and the Lord brought me to Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Can go there. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So put on the full armor of God. This is something that my kids and I do every night. My kids, my son in particular, tends to struggle what I had always struggled with fear. And so he makes sure that I do this every night. The prayer that I pray has to be exactly, or he'll remind me. So this is our nightly ritual. I put on the helmet of salvation on them. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. They have it memorized. Amen. Because they know that's going to protect them. The only thing that's not protected is our back. Because we are to run to. We are to face our circumstances head on. We are to run through them. Because if we run away from them, then we're exposed. Because when tests come, we will need to be prepared. The first one is the belt of truth. It keeps things in place so that nothing can be hindered. We must gird up with truth, not an abstract theological truth, but truth in daily living. It means being honest, sincere, open, and frank. We must put away all the things that world render us ineffective, such as hypocrisy, religious cliches, and saying and doing things we do not mean. So we have to be transparent, authentic. We can't say one thing and do another. We have to be truthful. The next thing is the breastplate of righteousness. It guards our heart. It is faith and love. The Bible says to watch or guard your heart because out of it comes forth springs of life. Your heart, what is in your heart, determines the course that you will take. So be careful. Put good things in your heart. Take the bad things out. Says David says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure, clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What is in our heart determines how we act, how we see things. Next is the shoes of the gospel of peace. We must be ready. Having a knowledge of the word, we need to stay ready. That's what Pastor always says. Stay ready. Gospel of peace produces peace of mind and heart. How can you transmit peace if we have no peace ourselves? The next is the shield of faith. It's for the protection and provision for ourselves and all whom God has committed to us. It covers everything. I always plead the blood of Jesus. The blood covers. It is our shield. I truly believe that. I always plead the blood of Jesus over my home, my husband, my children. I just know that it's a covering for me, and it's protecting me. I was told a story one time. There was a witch, and she would, what is that, when you... No. When you, like, astro project, yes. She would astro project to Christians, like to the people of God, to put curses on them. And she said, if they were covered by the blood, they were untouchable. They couldn't be touched. I couldn't touch them. So we need to always plead the blood of Jesus over everything. Next is the helmet of salvation. This is one I need to put on all the time. Because this one protects the head, which is the mind. The mind. I put on the helmet of salvation right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." Hope is the protection for the mind. Hope is built on faith. And the last one is my favorite. It's the sword of the Spirit. And I've got, let me get my scripture. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The word of God has the ability to penetrate and cut down strongholds. Where it says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The devil knows the word, but he misapplies it. We must know God's word so that we can counterattack. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." I remember back when I was a teenager, I had a dream. It was an interesting dream. I dreamt I was in a field. It was kind of like medieval type setting. And I was with three other people. And they said to me, "You need to go that." There was a fortress, kind of like a camp. And they said, "You need to go into that camp and get a sword." And in this camp would be like ogre giant type people. Scary, like ogre or giants. They're just big. And they said, "You have to go in there and get that sword that they stole." So they put a cloak on me. And they said, "This cloak will hide you." And so I went, and I was scared. And I just remember going in, and they couldn't see me because I was hidden under this cloak. But they felt me. And they started coming out. "Someone has breached our camp." And so the main ogre comes out, or giant, I don't know, it was a scary person, scary looking thing, comes out, and he has the sword on his back. And so I reveal myself. It's like, "I gotta get that sword." And they came at me, and I was like, I had a weapon, and I was like fighting them off with like this chain ball thing or something. And then that and I was like fighting them off, and that main one with the sword, I was like, "I gotta get that sword." And then he comes at me. I end up taking his weapon, and I kill him, and I grab the sword, and I hide it under the cloak, and I sneak out like I needed to. I killed them all. Yes. Girl power. But I left, and coming were these monks in a line, and they were chanting something. And so I was like, "Oh, you know, I hid my cloak. I don't need them to see me. I don't know what kind of people they are." And the last one, they didn't see me, but the last one turns around and says, "Well done." And that was it. That was my dream. Maybe you can interpret it. I know. I had to grab the sword. I'm assuming it was the sword, the word of God, that was stolen. Because the enemy steals the words and twists them.
That's right.
He's a liar. devil. Made my life a living hell. Right? I want to end with this scripture. In Psalm 3, in the Passion. Lord, I have so many enemies, so many who are against me. Listen to how they whisper their slander against me, saying, look, he looks hopeless. Even he, God can't save him from this. But in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you have become my shield. You take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You alone restore my courage, for you lift high my head when I bow low in shame. I have cried out to you, and from your holy presence, you send me a father's help. So now I'll lie down and go to sleep, and I'll awake in safety, for you surround me with your glory. Even though dark powers prowl around me, with their words like sharp arrows, I won't be afraid. I simply cry out to you, rise up and help me, Lord. Come and save me, and you will slap them in the face, breaking the power of their words to harm me. My true hero comes to my rescue, for the Lord alone is my Savior. What a feast of favor and bliss he gives his people. Selah. Psalm 3.
Good job.
Feel to pray. Will you lift your hands? Just stand.